Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
What a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you. It was this week, 146 years ago, Manuel Fernandez earned his place in our history books.
Because?
Well, you know, you always want to be the first at everything, right?
Okay.
Got to be the first. He was the first one to get himself legally hung in the state of Arizona.
Oh, Romy.
In fact, we weren't even a state. We were a territory then.
Boy, what a way to kick off the morning,
yeah, he
huh?
likes those morbid.
You know, it's not. Lance is the one that does this day in history. And okay. We had a little talk this week. I'm like, find me something that doesn't have to do with somebody getting hung or shot. he killed a merchant that went by the nickname Rawhide McCarthy on December 1st in 1872, and the hanging was May 2nd, 1873. So at that time in history, from crime to punishment was less than 6 months. Pretty efficient law system for just a territory. The paper at the time, this was in Yuma, it was called the Centennial. Arizona Centennial wrote, "Thus the majesty of law been vindicated for the first time in the history of this territory."
I'm sure it was a wicked place back then.
This was all 39 years before we even became a state. And the gallows were built across from the schoolhouse. And the teacher dismissed the class for the day, and some sources say the entire week while they were building it, so they didn't have to witness it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You watch the movies and everybody's standing there watching. I never did get that. Ooh.
Yeah, me neither. Well, no public hangings today, as far as I know. But if you want to get up to the Wickenburg, they have the 18th Annual Spring Street Dance and Food Truck Festival. That's 5:30 this afternoon. A range of food trucks, live music from old school Logic that play a variety of music from Tom Petty to Santana. That's in Wickenburg. If you like horseshoes and a little dirt road traveling, Crown King's 25th Annual Spring Horseshoe Pitch, home to Arizona's oldest saloon.
Now, that's a beautiful drive. Very unique, going to Crown King.
Not for the faint of heart.
Not for the faint of heart. And probably not for
switchbacks.
Yeah, you got to have a good four-wheel drive, too.
And steep terrain. And sometimes when you pass another vehicle, you're not sure how you're both going to stay on without rolling off the side.
You know, it's been a while. Never mind. It's pretty when you get up there.
Well, you learn really quick when you're going up that every switchback that you come around, there's always, that's the widest spot you can pass another one. So you always stop and look and make sure no one's coming the other way before you go up.
Got
and
it.
Make the next turn back. And then for writers today in Flagstaff, called Pondering the Plateau, Flagstaff Writers Connection is hosting an event at the Museum of Northern Arizona. They've got authors there that write about the Colorado Plateau and the Grand Canyon, and they'll have a book signing that's today from 2 to 4 at the Museum of Northern Arizona. While you're up in Flagstaff, after you got done with the book signing, you could go over to the Mesquite South Lodge and stay there before it undergoes the $30 million renovation that will
Wowza.
Begin at the end of the summer, and it's expected to open in the summer of 2020. So stay at the lodge before you can take your kids back there one day and say, "I was here in the old days when it was blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah." Our guest in today is director of Arizona State Parks. Thanks for coming down, Mr. Bob Broscheid. And you've brought Michelle Thomas with you there's always the guy in charge and the woman that knows everything. And we've got them both here today as it relates to the state parks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for joining us. So tell us about your journey to through Arizona. You've been at a number of different places and have quite an extensive history, and now how you became head of state parks.
Well, it's really not that interesting, I don't think. But, I moved out to Arizona, I think, 1988, I believe. Just graduated high school, left the northeastern part of Ohio and left and came out and worked on a horse ranch. And you know, you work and you go to school and you work and you go to school, and it seems like you're never going to get to the end. But finally, I graduated from Arizona State in wildlife conservation biology. And about a week or two later, I was at Game and Fish Department and traveling the state and doing all kinds of great things for the agency, and did that just about 19 years. And about 5 years, 5 years from today, I got the opportunity to go up and interview in Colorado, and Colorado has at the time they merged both wildlife and park into one agency, so they were looking for a new director up there, and so I put in and ended up getting that job, and spent the last 5 years running that agency, big agency, lots of money, lots of land, and certainly lots of state parks and lots of wildlife that was under my responsibility. And you take those jobs, you're at the whim of governors and politics, and as the governor was finishing up his second term, my wife and I are both from Arizona, and we wanted to come back. And this opportunity just happened to open up, and went through grueling interview process, and I'm home. I came back home, and it's good to be back.
Now, a man that's managed to make his entire living in the outdoors, traveling around, that's extremely interesting.
Yeah.
Well, don't sell yourself short here. There's a lot of people that would like to do that.
It is. I mean, I think we have the best jobs. Honestly, we do. You start as a kid or a young adult or even an older adult, and you start going outside, and you find out you can do this for a living. And you're not going to get rich. You're not going to be real popular most of the time, but whether it's wildlife or in state parks, I tell our folks all the time is that we're doing something for somebody else, and you really don't expect a lot in return. And my favorite saying is we plant trees today that we'll never sit in the shade of for tomorrow, and that's really, I think, what drives a lot of our folks and their motivation, and that's why they get into the business.
And your time at Game and Fish, did you ever know Bray Addison?
I did. I knew Bray.
There was a time I wanted to be a Game and Fish officer, and he was the one that talked me out of it. I'm not a classroom student.
He's a smart guy.
Growing up, being a self-educator through homeschooling, sitting in a classroom, I could never learn. And he told me the amount of schoolwork that required. Yeah. That about ended my desire to be a game warden.
Yeah. Well, it takes a special person to be a game warden or a park ranger. It really does. It's a lot of outdoor skills. You're out by yourself most of the time.
I know. It's wonderful.
It is. And it sounds good. But I'll tell you, it gets old after a while, especially when you start having the family at home and you're away a lot. So, you got to find that work-life balance like you guys do.
Well, it truly is a gift, though, to the people of Arizona.
It is.
You go to other states and they don't have that open land. And you just, we've been here a very long time and just used to being, hey, we're going to go up the road here and we're going to get off and ride our horses or do whatever we do outside, hike. And we just take that so for granted. So thank you for your work.
Well, thank you. And we keep at it. And with the, growing population, these areas are, that were once hidden treasures or you felt like you were kind of alone, aren't that way much anymore. And it's, something that we're trying to tackle as a state is how do we keep that access open, that reasonable access, and allow an opportunity for all to go out and finding that balance. And I don't think you ever reach it. It's just it's never a static place. It's something that, we were to work with the federal agencies, other state agencies, and even the local. And I think that's where State Parks comes in, is we try to provide that opportunity that maybe you can't just get out on public lands or in some of the local or county park systems. And so that's kind of how we're trying to find our place in this overall land management scheme.
And that will continue to change. We are still one of the top growing states in the country. So that's not going to go away. You're going to be challenged for a long time, I imagine.
We are, and I think we're up for it. And I think it's a combination of having, the right staff, having the right public support, having the revenue to be able to do those things. All of that combined, it's going to allow us to, prepare for the future. But it's really, I come from, these agencies where I've only worked in an agency where you earn your own revenue. You don't get general tax dollars and those kind of appropriations from the legislatures, you earn it. And that requires, I think, a special level of connection with your customer. And that we have to listen to them. And society's changed, demands change all the time. And how do we stay, not necessarily ahead of it? I don't think you can predict behaviors that well, but how do you stay up with it and create those opportunities? And I mean, just I remember when OHVs were just, I mean, they weren't even on the landscape at the time. That shows you how old I am. But now look, it's generating billions and billions of dollars into the state and those opportunities, the machines change and all that. So,
and OHV, off-road highway vehicle.
Yep, off-highway vehicles.
Your ATVs, your motorcycles, dirt bikes.
Yep, the side-by-sides and all of those. And they're a great recreation. And, how do we manage those folks? How do we provide those opportunities yet not leave others, say, hikers and bikers and bird watchers and all the whole gamut of customers out there that are looking for those experiences too? So,
and you do that by managing 35 state parks. And after the break, we'll talk about where to go this summer. We're always looking for ways to beat the heat, and the first thing you think is the mountains, but that's not always the case. We're going to talk about some of like Cattail Cove, Hidden Treasure, and along the Colorado Strip, you'll have a number of state parks there. So it's mainly going to be around getting in the water theme here at Rosie on the House with you every Saturday morning. And if you are one of those that are active boater, game, and fish, would like to remind you, clean and dry. To prevent moving mussels, you can actually schedule a free decontamination from your boat at both Lake Havasu and Lake Pleasant. So make sure if you are taking your boat from one body of water to the other, you follow proper procedures to prevent any mussel spread of these creatures that are hurting our waterways. And if you want to get up to Pine Top Lakeside, the Woodland Lake Fishing Fiesta is happening today, 8 o'clock to noon. All ages welcome. No fishing license during this time. Poles and tackle will be available to borrow. The town of Pine Top Lakeside will buy the first 50 youth hunt fish combos. If you check in, you can find all those details at Game and Fish website.